Think of all the miracles that occurred to get all of us in this room. All the conversions, whether they were, I had someone say, my conversion was not dramatic. I said, what do you mean it wasn't dramatic? If you weren't converted, you would go to hell. That's pretty dramatic. And in other words, what they meant was it wasn't any big splash. They were, in fact, I heard someone recently said they didn't know when they were converted because they always believed. That's very dramatic. That's God working in the heart of a little child. And then others, it's more like Saul, it was just night and day. And so each of us have a conversion somewhere in that range, and that's a glorious thing. And he's put us together as one body in Christ. The enemy doesn't care how he divides this body. Doesn't care how he does it in any way. He'll do it by a spoonful at a time or sticks of dynamite. And so for us to be together, united in Christ, loving him, that's all miraculous. So, with that said, we're going to turn today to Proverbs 18:21 for the verse I'll be preaching on and from. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you say so much in so few words. And Lord, we just ask you to open our minds and our hearts to see the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. And Lord, we praise you that he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." And so, Lord, we know this verse testifies of you. Help us declare your glory and your honor through it, by your grace and by your spirit. We ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen. What a statement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if we just said that, we might wonder, where are we going with this? But then it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So there's a positive aspect to this. It's pointing to the glory of this, that the life is going to come from the tongue. That's particularly from the Lord himself. Salvation is of the Lord, and he does it by speaking his gospel to our hearts, opening our eyes to see the Lord Jesus. And it is God himself who has the power over death, and all of our lives are sequential. And we cannot add to our life one cubit, one second. That's not to discourage us. That's to say God has a time to be born and a time to die, as it says in Ecclesiastes. And all that time in between is for us to come to know Christ, to serve Christ, and every day then is important. It teaches us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, and in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as we consider this verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue, we're going to consider three aspects. First of all, the tongue of the Savior. Secondly, the tongue of the sinner. And finally, the tongue of the saint. So we have the tongue of the Savior. That's a perfect tongue. And it tells us in John 7:46, when, you remember, the Pharisees had sent them out to go get Jesus. And we're going to grab this man, we're going to put him to death. And they were listening to him, and they came back empty-handed. And they said, what happened? And their answer was this: no man ever spoke like this man. And so, what is it the way that the Lord spoke that arrested his captors who were trying to arrest him? Well, let's consider, first of all, he did have a perfect tongue. It was a sinless tongue. Everything he said was, without question, perfect. And so we want to consider, first of all, that he spoke the truth. What he told them was absolutely true. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so everything that Jesus spoke was true. Everything that God has said in his word is true. It is impossible for God to lie. Can God do everything? He can do all his holy will, but he cannot lie. And so the Lord Jesus told them the truth. And then secondly, he spoke to them with power. And you might remember that it was also said that when people heard Jesus Christ, it says, Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them one as having authority and not as the scribes. And that word authority is the word exousia, which is also translated power most often in the New Testament. And so he had this power, he had this authority when he spoke. He wasn't just giving his opinion that might be true or false. He came with power in speaking to them. And this, let me remind you a little bit of the power of his words. When creation occurred, remember, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And Jesus, it tells us in the scriptures, created all things. And without him, nothing was created that was created. So he created the light coming from himself, who is the light. And he has a voice that can not only create light, but all things. And he's one who can wake the dead. And you remember his voice speaking to Lazarus. He said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, he's dead in the grave 4 days now." They said, when he said, "Roll back the stone," he said, "Master, don't you know he's going to stink? We want to protect your nose. Roll back the stone. Lazarus, come forth." And he rose from the dead. That was his voice, a voice that could give life with its power. And so no man ever spoke like this man with that power. And then he spoke with love and grace. It says in Psalm 45:2, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever." And this is speaking of Christ. Grace poured forth from his lips. And we read in our call to worship, Jesus said, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." What is that gospel? Well, he himself is that gospel. Remember, he told Nicodemus that, if we look back in, he said that as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must also be raised up. And then he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And he brought the gospel to them, that he would rise from the dead. Told the disciples, you can read it three times in the book of Mark, "I'm going to Jerusalem, they will kill me, and in 3 days I will rise again." And he did. He preached the gospel to the poor. He was the gospel of grace. And so this is the Lord. It is his words, his voice, raised the dead. He spoke. I mean, everyone who heard him that came to him, they were quickened in their hearts. This is what happens in conversion when the Lord speaks his word of grace to you, that there is a Savior who can save you from all your sins, and you come to him. He is granting that life. He's the one speaking life to your soul, just as he spoke to Lazarus. And he commands you to come forth, and you come forth. And so he commands us to come to him. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's his word of life. So he's a God who speaks with truth. He speaks with power. He speaks with grace. But he also speaks in judgment. Remember, there's going to be a death, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge in that day. And he will command certain individuals to be cast into outer darkness because they rejected him. They did not have time for him. They wanted to live their own lives, speak their own words, and will have to face the Lord Jesus, who will speak to them in that day. My prayer for you is that you will come to him in this life, and the word he will have for you in that day is, "You are mine." And he will be standing for you, and he will receive you as himself, and you'll be received as the Lord Jesus. So we have this Lord Jesus who spoke perfectly in power and in graciousness to whatever he said. Let's consider now the tongue of the sinner. Tells us in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Like one of the Psalms, David said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Well, why was it so hasty? There was one who never lied, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every man, God is true, but every man a liar. All of us have lied. We've lied as little children. We've lied as teenagers. We've lied as adults. We've lied as Christians. Anytime you exaggerate something, you're not telling the truth. Anytime you withhold truth that should be spoken, you're lying. And so all of us are guilty in this sense, but I want to talk particularly about the son, the tongue of the person who is the sinner. This is all they are. They are not a saint. What they stood before God on that particular day or this day, they would be judged forever for their words. It tells us also in Romans chapter 3, verse 13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. You see, Jesus always told the truth, but the tongue of the sinner is telling lies, deceitful lies, lies upon lies. I had a man tell me one time, if you tell the truth, you won't have to remember what you said. But if you lie, you better remember what you said, because you've got to pour a lie upon that and lie upon that and lie upon that. And this is what sinners do. And so God will judge them for their lies. Secondly, they speak from their own mind. They are their own authority. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You see, what they speak is death. They have no light. They're in darkness. And what they say comes from their own mind. They have their own opinion. I mean, I've seen it all my life. Individuals, you read them the Word of God, and they say, well, that's fine for you. But not for me, is what they're saying. They have their own authority. It's their own mind, their own self, the world's opinion. It's coming from themselves. And then thirdly, it also tells us in Romans 3, it says, with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Well, there's the death, poison, words that will actually kill people, false teachings. But if you were to lay hold of those false teachings and die in those false teachings, you will perish, because that's a false gospel. It's a false Jesus that cannot save you. Someone tells you can lose your salvation, that is a false gospel. Because Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my hand, and my Father which has given them me, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish the work. If he's called you to himself, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how many times you might doubt him among your faith, remember the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How many times have you cried out for that? Lord, give me faith. Overcome my unbelief. Help me turn away from an evil heart of unbelief. And from lies in my own heart. You know, we can speak to ourselves things that are lies. And we have to go back to the truth and preach Christ to ourselves. So what's under their poisonous lips? They have cursing instead of blessing. They have cutting words instead of encouraging words, destructive words instead of edifying words, yelling instead of a soft answer, gossiping instead of praying or humbly confronting, name-calling instead of courtesy, flattery or insincere praise instead of proper encouragement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they've chosen death. They may not think this. They just think, well, I'm just living my life. If you're just living your life, you're living it without Christ. And you're saying what you want to say when you want to say it. You're not filtering it by the word of God. This is what the sinner is going to face, all these words. Every word is going to be judged in that day. Words we have forgotten will be judged in that day. Are you not thankful there is a Savior who redeemed you? And that's our third tongue we want to speak about. The tongue of the saints. It is a redeemed tongue. Jesus had to pay for every word that you ever spoke in sin. How often is that? Every day, do we not say something improperly? Do we not say something in impatience? So a false accusation? Something comes from our mouth? Just a quip? You know, remember Peter says he didn't know what to say, so he said something. This is what we do. We're afraid of the silence, so we just have to fill it up with words that really are not meaningful. And so we have to pray about this. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke truth. This is what saints do. They've learned to speak truthfully. In Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So here in the body of Christ, it's possible to lie to one another. What do? We have to repent. We have to go back and say, I'm sorry that I said what I said. It is really this way. And by the grace of God, we forgive one another, and we are one body in Christ. God doesn't lie to himself. And so why would we ever want to lie to one another? And we do. And we must put it away. Sometimes these commands are here. Well, why is that command there? That command is there because we can lie. And we can lie to one another. And so we must speak the truth with our neighbors, for we are members one of another. So we not only speak truthfully, we want to speak thoughtfully. James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Sometimes we want to get out that first word, right? We got to win the argument, so you just throw out something rather than listening to the whole of it, getting all the information, and then praying, Lord, what would be the best thing to say here? I've heard some people say, I always say what's on my mind. Ooh, how fearful is that? Run from that individual. There's a lot of death flowing out there. God wants us thinking about it. Quick to hear. I hear the whole thing. Then slow to speak. And I don't know if Southerners have done better with that because we're a little slower than speaking the rest of the country. I don't know if that came from that or not. But anyway, we want to be slow to speak, and then definitely slow to wrath and putting away that wrath. And so we're filtering what we're thinking by our thoughts. What should I say? James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless, or it says in the Old King James, is vain. In other words, if you don't ever bridle your tongue, it's saying you're lost. Christians have to put a bridle, and some of you are more agrarian than I. My grandfather was a farmer, and I saw horses with bits in their mouths, and that it tells us that the scriptures tell us that that bit can turn that horse any way it will. And just like the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, according to James 3. And it has to be, a horse has to have a bridle. And you pull it on this side, he goes to the right, to the left, woe, let him go with it. Some people talk taking the bit in their mouth, you know, that don't give me a bit, I'm going to run. They do that with their words. But we have to have a bridled tongue where we're thinking, what will give grace to this person? Because many thoughts are going on. And someone said, you're not really listening if you have all the thoughts going on. So listen well, and then think well what she should say. Bridle your tongue, because many hurtful things can be said. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you want to give life. So it tells us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we're not only speaking the truth, we're not only speaking thoughtfully, but we want to speak graciously. And so we're bridling this tongue so that what comes out will really give grace to the hearer. It will edify them. It will build them up. They'll go away from that conversation saying, well, that was helpful. You know, and it might even be a correction. But a correction must come with gentleness. It didn't come with battering them down with your words and quarreling with them. There's a tenderness. There's a kindness there. It says, the rich answers roughly, but the poor use entreaties. You know, the rich, by enriching themselves, they just bark things out. And they hurt people with their words, hard words. But a Christian with a bridled tongue thinks, how can I gently speak this correction to someone so they come away thinking, that was a very loving way of saying that instead of yelling at me and just as the world would curse you. And so we must consider, how am I going to give grace to this person? James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And that's in a chapter that talks about the tongue. It says, no man can tame the tongue. Only Jesus had a perfect tongue, perfectly bridled and tamed. But all of us wrestle with that, and we've got to pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Remember, James also tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Not just a little wisdom, he just pours a truck full of wisdom on you if you ask him. And Lord, I need wisdom to speak pure words, peaceable words, gentle words. I'm willing to yield and not just always have my way with my words. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm not going to embarrass this person, but I heard someone who attends this church say of his wife and his daughter, he had never met two more kind individuals in all his life. I said, wow, that's in the home, because you know in the home, that's probably where it's hardest to be kind. And this is his testimony. So I'm saying, Lord, give us all grace to be that person that they would say they were the kindest person that we knew. And kindness comes with kind words. Not flattering words, but speaking in such a way that is edifying and building up. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. And if it's really seasoned with grace, it's really pointing people to Christ, pointing them to him who can take away their sins, who can strengthen them in any difficulty. I mean, think about John, who had his head upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. This is a person who's very approachable. And though he's resurrected from the dead, he's there with open in great power and glory. He's there with open arms. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give you the rest of his gospel, of his kind words. I have some questions for you. What is your tongue declaring of you? Matthew 12:37 says, this is the words of Jesus, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, this doesn't mean you've earned salvation because you spoke so many good words and you're going to be justified, but it's an indication of who you are. What are you saying? Those words indicate that you will be justified. You're one of his. By what comes out of your mouth. Remember, Jesus said you will know them by your fruits. So what is your tongue declaring of you? I hope it declares that you're a Christian. And even when you sin, you're then declaring that he is a forgiver and that you repent and you turn to him and you repent before others by your words. And then by your words, you will be condemned. There's some individuals that are always speaking as of the world. I say sometimes you can't find a pulse in him. You talk to him about Jesus and nothing ever comes back. Maybe a word or two, but there's never any knowledge of him. I think talkative is like this in A Pilgrim's Progress. He could talk, but he really didn't get down to the person of Christ, the grace of Christ, the love of Christ. And so by your words, you will be condemned. I've had situations where I talked to individuals and the very next sentence out of their mouth was completely off the subject. Had nothing to do. And I say, those words in my mind are saying, if you stood before God and this is what you want to do, put him out of your mind, you'll be condemned by your words. So may the Lord help us to know. And what is our tongue declaring? That we are Christians or we are not. And then secondly, have you repented of your harsh words spoken before the Lord and others? Don't we all wish we'd never spoken certain ways? Someone said speaking harsh words is like having a pillow fight and those old feathers just go all over the place. How do you get them back? My wife and I sometimes speak of things that have been said to us in our youth that we still remember. We forgive those individuals, but they were very harsh words that shouldn't have been said. And may the Lord give us grace to have things that we say to people that build them up instead of the harsh words we speak. And then thirdly, will you pray that the Lord may help you speak in such a way as to give grace to those who hear you speak? Lord, this is your tongue. Lord, help me use it for your glory and your honor, because this is what the Lord Jesus did. He spoke perfectly, and then he died for everything we've ever said wrong. He's died so that we might have something to say rightly. He gave himself for us, that we might have a life with him. And in heaven, we will never speak a lie, a harsh word. There'll never be repentance for our words in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But in this life, we have a life where we have to be very considerate of one another, considerate of the Lord. We're speaking before the Lord. He's the one who hears these words in our hearts before we ever speak them. And saying, Lord, remember we're supposed to be slow to wrath? Don't speak in wrath. It's so easy. I don't know if you've had anger flash upon you. I hate that. It's just like, phew, it pops into my mind so fast. Why will it not be slow to anger? Why can I not see this anger coming far off and just put it away? It flashes, and we have to have, by the grace of God, put that away. Lord, I can't speak to my children like this. I can't speak to my wife like this. Lord, you saw it in my heart. And Lord, when it does come out, Lord, give me grace. Jesus, you died for my sins. We are justified by him. We're not going to heaven because we've spoken such good words, but the Lord Jesus has died and paid for all those sins of our tongue. And he's granted his righteousness, all the fulfilling of God's word. He never murdered anyone with his lips. And he's marked that to our account, and we'll have that in heaven, and we have that now. That's the gospel. But he wants us to walk in that. Remember that Paul told Timothy to walk in righteousness. He knew Timothy was righteous, but he said, Timothy, walk and be what you are. Be that individual who speaks the truth to people with thoughtfulness, with a gracious heart, because Christ is your Savior. Well, I pray the Lord blesses us, helps us to look to Christ today and honor him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We thank you that he is our Lord and Master. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to glorify you today in loving you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Lord, in loving our brethren and loving our neighbors. Lord, even loving our enemies. We pray, Father, for our children that they might continue to come to you as little children. And Lord, that they would flee to you. We pray, Father, for our families, for our fathers and mothers, that they will be good examples to them. And Lord, that they will repent very clearly before their children if they sin against them. And Lord, that they will point them to Christ for themselves and them. Lord, we do thank you for bringing us together today to honor you and glorify you. Pray that we could continue to do such through the noon hour, through our business meeting today. Father, we pray for visitors that have come, that you'd strengthen them and encourage them. You know their needs, Lord. We pray that you would point them to the Lord Jesus, and Lord, that they would cleave to him. Father, we ask you all this for Jesus' sake.